Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all the shirts all sparkly. Thank you, clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Candles, music, wine, and then loop up and get on top.
A glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your
pants. Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back.
You beat me to it. I was going to say hello, hello, hello.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to another episode of By the By.
Yes.
Pretty excited for tonight. We'll get the laundry list, the grocery list out of the way first. There's nothing going on. We ain't got nothing going on.
We don't have a list.
There's nothing going on. It's our pantry is full. Our refrigerator is stocked and we still can't leave our house. So we wanted to talk to you real quick about maybe joining us over on Discord. How do you do that? For as little as 50 cents an episode, go to patreon.com/bytheby podcast and you can support us there. And then hop onto our Discord chat with all of our folks. And you can talk to the lovely couple that we're about to talk to now. So we, without further ado, I guess we jump into a conversation with Naughty and Rocket.
We love you, Angela.
Yay, I'm so glad.
Sucking up already.
No, he knows where his bread's buttered.
Oh, my God. Yeah, between your buns.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay, so today we have Naughty and Rocket with us.
If you're a longtime podcast listener, you will remember our conversations with them probably 3 years ago.
Way, way, way long ago.
Yeah, in the way, way past.
Yes, yes, too long ago.
And they still talk to us.
That's true.
Suckers.
Hello, Naughty and Rocket.
Hello.
Hello, Bradford and Angela.
Would you like to say anything else in introduction of yourselves?
I think we'll probably get to that.
Ooh, all right.
I love her. She turns me on.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So we've brought Naughty and Rocket on today to talk about hot wifing and cuckolding. And why will make sense in a little while.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
However, first we're going to define those terms because not everybody out there knows what they mean, right?
Right.
And admittedly, there's a bit of self-definition involved with them. Depending on who you ask, they can be defined slightly differently. But I'm going to go with the generally accepted internet definitions at the moment.
Broad strokes, most folks.
Yes. So, hot wife is a married woman who has sexual relationships outside of her marriage with the full knowledge and consent of her husband, who himself does not have affairs. So, hot wifing is a wife-sharing arrangement or act of carrying out such affairs. The idea of hot wifing comes from the concept of a husband showing off and sharing his quote-unquote hot wife. The non-monogamous arrangement is related to a cuckolding fetish, and many, but not all husbands in such a relationship refer to themselves as cuckolds or hot wifers. Which leads us to the next definition.
Which is cuckolding.
Cuckold. So a cuckold is the husband of an adulterous wife. The wife of an adulterous husband is a cuck queen.
Cuck queen!
In biology, a cuckold is a male who unwittingly invests his parental effort in juveniles who are not genetically his offspring.
I do love that there's a biological definition for the word cuckold.
Well, because
that was not in my biology 101 class.
Because the word originally comes from the cuckoo bird, because they lay their eggs in other birds' nests.
Oh my God, my mind just exploded. and it's cuckoo, not cuckoo.
Cuckoo, come on, God, sure, fine.
Also, in the U.S. Southeast, it's the cowbird.
Yeah.
They'll also do that. So they'll take a bird's nest, they'll lay their eggs, and then they'll fuck off. And then the cowbird's eggs will hatch first, and they kick out the other eggs or the babies because they're little fucking cunts. And then, like, you'll see this giant cowbird being fed by this wee little sparrow. And the little sparrow's like, yeah, you're my baby. You're a fucking ugly baby, but you're still my baby. And that's how it goes.
Yeah. So
I'm so excited. So I didn't know that.
Back to the term cuckold.
Oh, sorry. We have guests.
It was first used in the mid-1200s, so it's been used in literature for a very, very long time. It was actually very common in Shakespeare's writing, and so a number of his characters suspected that they were cuckolds. And cuck queen was first used around the mid-1500s. So both of these terms have been around for a very, very long time.
In fact, a lot of people don't realize this, but cuck queen was the first tramp stamp. 1558.
Lady Gaga. Are you sure? Because that was before the term actually came about.
Right on. What did you say?
It was 1562, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she was a pioneer.
Okay,
and
sure.
She has, like, right across the spine.
We'll go with that.
Uh-huh. Cut queen.
Takes a while to go viral.
Yeah, I mean, right. Back then, viral was things like syphilis.
However, let's make it very clear, though, that cuckold is not always a cisgendered or heterosexual male.
No.
Because you often will see it in gay relationships and other types of relationships as well. So let's make that very clear as well from the beginning. We may talk about these things in cisgendered.
It's my favorite cookie.
Cisgendered heterosexual relationship terms, but they're not always applicable in those terms as well. So just for ease.
I had me a cisgingerbread man.
Yeah, so the cuckoldress, the cuck queen, is not always a woman, and the bull or the cuckold is not always a man. So.
Cuckoldress.
I mean,
are they born and forged in cuckoldrons?
Maybe.
One cock ring to rule them all.
My precious. So based on those definitions or your own definitions, and feel free to redefine for yourself.
Yes.
How do you define your relationship? Do you see it more cuckolding, hotwifing, something else?
Well, I've never been able to adopt any of the terminologies for myself. If somebody asked me, and this is absolutely ridiculous, but I would say that we were monogamous and faithful because.
I mean, I don't.
You know, we fucked both of you, right?
Yeah, like, I have firsthand in mouth experience that disagrees with your definition.
You are so right, but in the ways that matter.
Oh, so you're saying I don't matter? Goddamn, Rocket! You right out of the gate, you just cutting deep.
Let's hear her definition. Let's hear what she says.
You want me to cry a little more?
Yeah.
I think we probably fit the hot wifing definition more than the cuckolding. That's not to say that he doesn't engage, mm-hmm. but we typically have always been more about adding another guy to the bedroom. We've gone with the couple thing a bit more recently, which has been really good. But there's no, well, you didn't give in your definition anything about humiliation, and that's always the thing that's really made me go, that's not what we do, because there's mm-hmm. no interest in that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that gets into the why would someone want to do this? And humiliation is typically one of the primary reasons that the internet will tell you is why this is done.
Well, I'm going to say that cuckolding has that.
Yes.
That connotation of humiliation. Mm-hmm. You're doing this because he's not good enough. Mm-hmm. The only reason I'm fucking this air quote bull is because my partner isn't good enough. And that's not something. It's really funny. So I'm gonna mm-hmm. lay it out really quickly. I love the term cuckold. I think it's a great word. Now that I know it's related to cuckoo birds, I love it even more. I think hot wifing is such a fucky wanker term. It's the same thing, but it's these fucking millennial trendy people who are like, oh, I don't like cuckolding, so let's call it hot wifing. That makes me sound like I have power. And I'm like, ugh. I hate that term. Put it out there. I know that I often mince my words. I don't, if you like the term, fine. That's great. That's good for you. But yeah, it's just, I think you're a sexy, powerful woman who has a partner that wants you to enjoy all of your all of the earthly pleasures that you can, but that's harder to fit on a bumper sticker. Yeah, that's
a long hashtag. And I think, so if you pitch it, like, so the hashtag thing is very much the simple way that people are splitting up their chunk of cuckoldry to their sort of thing. And I think Hot Wife would have been the only thing that was available for what we're doing probably until 5 years ago, well, that I was aware of anyway. And then the Stag and Vixen thing popped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that term.
Yeah, look, and I don't know whether it was the UK Stag and Vixen or whoever came up with that, but I do think that probably fits our thing a bit better. So that, because it is that, you know, cuckolding has that real, these days in particular, has that humiliation thing. And I think it probably did back in the 1500s. I mean, that's what you're going to call someone, a cuckold, and and all that sort of stuff, is to humiliate them.
Yeah.
So it has that element to it. And then you get the hot wifing, which is just sort of the you go off and do your thing and I'll just, you know, sit back here sort of thing. But I think the Stag and Vixen had that, this is an equivalent relationship. There isn't, you know, there's, the power is roughly equivalent, and so you don't need to have one person.
Notice he says that with a question mark.
And looking at you like right, baby? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Just checking. I'm not going to get a smack up the back of the head for that. Yeah, so it is. I think that's probably what I would, if I was hashtagging, that's probably the smarter way for me to go. And I don't know how you feel about that. I don't know whether we come across it even much, given that you don't do the socials.
I don't really engage
so
in the socials. So, no, I get a surprise when you show me what's happening and who's liking what.
So more Stag Vixen than perhaps Hot Wife Cuckold.
Yeah, so I suppose to explain what we would do more often, and it has evolved, as all things do, but we started off very much as I was very comfortable with Rocket getting her pleasure from other guys, and I didn't need to chase another female because I thought that she was everything, and I still do.
Well, thank you, sir.
but that, so we have done more the couples thing in whatever number of years it's been, but it's still probably more my preference, not preference. So I very much enjoy that side of the relationship. I think that's really good fun. So when we've done that, however, for the majority of the time up until probably relatively recently, it's been 100% me being involved the whole time, pretty much. So, which sort of doesn't fit that cuckold, doesn't even probably fit the hot wifing thing so much.
Just the MFM threesome thing was the whole, what it was all about.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. So the other one that you could just do is hashtag MFM, which sort of says that we're there together doing that thing, or threesome or whatever. If you said threesome, though, everybody thinks FMF.
Yeah.
But if you did MFM, I did get corrected many years ago and told that MMF meant that guys were bi and that everything was happening and whatever. People obviously try and subdivide everything under the sun. So MFM is probably a better hashtag if you went down that line for our thing. So I think that, you know, things change and everything, but that's probably our dynamic mostly.
I also think that's my favorite radio station. Hello and welcome to MFM. Yeah. All sexy music all the time.
But we want it to be video radio.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so that kind of gets into a little bit of why you would do this. So some of the reasons that people give for, and this is mainly more around cuckolding, perhaps, than hot wifing, and certainly the MFM scenario. But one of the first reasons that always comes up, which I'm not sure I believe, but it comes up, is the biology or competition theory. And so by watching your partner have sex with somebody else, you're then going to ejaculate harder. You're going to have more sperm and a shorter refractory period, all of that.
Ooh, I like this. Naughty, do you have examples?
Yes, I think the fairy wrens are probably the best example here. They are the.
I love this already. This is a bird episode. All right,
settle in, folks.
They are the dirtiest sods around. Anyway, no, that's probably not true. I don't know about the refractory period of a fairy wren, I have to admit.
Oh, I think we need to do a study.
I just want to cut that and that be like the tagline for this. I don't know about the refractory period of a fairy wren.
I see a new project on my horizon.
So if you've never seen a fairy wren, go stop everything. Google it now. It's this adorable, at least the males are, the females are drab and plain like all birds. The male is this beautiful, bright, iridescent, cerulean blue. Gorgeous little bird. They're about the size of a ping pong ball with a tail that sticks straight up in a fuck you kind of fashion. And that's kind of their attitude. They're not afraid of anything. But please continue. Naughty?
Now I am flummoxed as to where I was. So
talking about competition theory with fairy
rings. Yeah, look, everything that's going to turn you on is going to make you go a bit harder when you're back with your wife. So that has some relevance, I suppose, but in reality, I mean, not too many biological things behind that, I suspect.
I don't know. I'm not sure because of that, what you just said, you know, you're going to be more turned on. So maybe that is kind of the thing. And maybe I would love to see the studies on sperm count pre and post.
I'm sure somebody's done this, right?
Like, how do you get a university to
this? Sperm count around cuckolding situations?
Yeah. I don't think that.
I'm just thinking that if I said to him, "Oh, impregnate me, baby," like, I reckon that would be the end of the evening.
Well, I mean, yeah.
See, that fits in though with that. Well, maybe it's a reasonable theory that the shape of a guy's cock head is designed to clean out the previous guy.
Right, sure.
Like if you link enough things together, it sort of makes sense, I suppose, and, you know, we can probably make this a fact very quickly. But I will spend some time on Google Scholar tomorrow. Yes,
okay. Excellent.
Humpback versus southern right whales. We'll find some interesting stuff there about this theory.
Ooh. All right.
I love that we're now a biology podcast.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We may have some extras. So another reason why that's given is sexual jealousy and also compersion. So the flip side of that, humiliation, we've already talked about, submission. Also the fact that it's just taboo. So non-monogamy is not something that's generally accepted in many places. And so, you know, you're doing something that's just a little bit taboo and there's a little bit of excitement around that. And also a bit of interest in bisexuality, perhaps. So those are some of the really common reasons. I would be interested to know why you guys started out down this path. What got you first interested in this?
For me, it's something naughty and dirty is certainly part of it. That's that has the thrill. I also, it's interesting the compersion thing. I think that's part of it and wanting opportunities. But the viewing pleasure is pretty big in there as well. So, and there's a whole bunch of stuff around that, just viewing pleasure, you know, the man, it's so sexy. Like that meme that we sent you a while back that, like, that's the first time I've fiddled with something and Rocket's gone, oh, shit, yeah, that's dead on. Like, that's actually pretty good. It just works. So yeah. I think that, you know, those elements of you're doing something forbidden, and we might get into some of those sorts of doing stuff that's slightly naughty later in the conversation. But I think that there's a big chunk of that for us anyway. And one of the early bits in our relationship was me saying, I think it'd be pretty hot to get some photos of you with another guy. So I love the photography side of things, and that element of being able to step back a bit, take some photos, and then look at them later as well as at the moment, that's definitely part of the thrill for me.
That sounds really hot to me.
There's something really interesting there too, because you're adding a voyeurism kind of to it, which I think is really interesting, because by looking through a camera lens rather than looking with your eyes, which I know you're doing as well, but you're really taking yourself out of the situation and making it more of a kind of a secret third party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only are you in watching your partner play with somebody else, you're also doing it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and I think there's a few photos that I really like that are taken from outside the room looking in.
Oh.
Or a mirror or something like that, maybe you're onto something. Maybe you're on.
Uh-huh.
Rip me out. I'm a god.
This is also therapy.
But this stuff has taken me a long time to get my head around. Like, for it's been a very difficult thing for me to relax and just go with whatever's going on and enjoy it, because I am worried about what if I'm not paying you enough attention, and what if you're sitting in the corner steaming because I'm not doing whatever. And we've just come to the agreement that, well, actually, if he needs some attention, he'll get right in my face and I won't be able to miss the face. You just go from there. And I think it's only very recently that I've been able to go, okay, well, I'm just not going to worry about you. It's your responsibility. Let me know if there's something going on and I'll just do my thing.
That seems fair enough.
A lot of years of me saying I'm finding it incredibly hot when I, mm-hmm. if I'm sitting back watching what's happening, that's still incredibly hot. That's ticking all my boxes. It's funny how long it takes some people to catch on to what you're saying.
But that's also a lot of societal, you know, just society pushing into you for so many years saying that you have to give your partner all the attention. So when you're in a scenario where you're with your partner and someone else, you don't want to feel like you're ignoring your partner. And it's also, there's a bit of trust in that your partner will speak up if they need something, but also society will tell you that, you know, you don't want to inconvenience someone. So you don't want to like really bring it to their attention unless it's really, really a problem. And so you, like, I may not think that my partner's necessarily going to speak up for themselves until it's too far and it's too much of an issue. So there's a lot of societal pressures on both sides to where I can see that it would take a lot to get over that and to be able to just relax and say, okay, I trust you to say something or to get in my face if there's a problem. But that's a lot of years of undoing to get to that point.
And we also had a few situations where early days where things didn't go that way. And you know, you'd come to the end and do your debrief, end of year. You know, training session. And you'd find that actually you did something that wasn't greatly appreciated.
Right.
And you know, and then you go, oh shit, well, how was I meant to know that? And then
you get worried
about doing something like that again. And
and it does take a lot of growing, you know, from my side in communicating and just doing exactly what you said, Angela, is saying, I'm not going to let that societal pressure to just shut up and sit back.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually step forward and say at this moment, and I don't know when. So there is a story that we should get onto at some point about this and how sort of that holding back through lots of little bits of chipping away is not a good thing. But
why not now? Let's go for it.
All right. So, to step into a much broader story, we managed to hook ourselves a manicorn, or he hooked us, or whichever way it goes in this stuff, at one stage. So for us, the manicorn was the dude that really got our relationship and understood how we worked and how he worked in that set of three interacting relationships. And we caught up with him very regularly. We all had to travel in that process, and it cost us a fortune to do so, but it was well worth it. And then at one point we were chatting, and as all West Aussies do, we chatted about maybe we should just bugger off to Bali and do this because, you know, the food's cheaper, the accommodation's cheap, all that sort of stuff, and do something different. Bali's not our prime destination. So in the end, we went to Thailand with the Manicorn for 10 days and it was a sex fest. But
I don't see a problem with this.
And we had some great travel, great food, great sex, all that stuff. But, you know, there's some elements in there that are a bit difficult. When we travel pretty well together, I think, most of the time. But when you add a third person in there, there's another element there. And I was just getting...
Also, sorry to interrupt, but we've traveled with you guys and that's adding two more people, but that's different because you two are a unit and we're a unit and we can do whatever. But this was just adding a third person.
Yeah.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just getting a little bit precious about not being the, I don't know, sometimes it was not being the primes, and that's not meant in a superiority sense, but in a focus sense, like I wasn't being the first focus. And also sometimes it was more about just having, you know, being a slightly to one side, but it was more on the common day stuff. This was not in the bedroom. This was just if we're doing X, walking down the street, then Rocket's talking to the Manicorn and I'm sort of, you know, this is Thailand. There is not three people's room on a side sort of thing. And so I'm either in front or behind or wherever I am. And so I did crack it a bit at one point. Well, I didn't. I just sulked. And Rocket,
which I was aware of.
Rocket said, "What the fuck's wrong with you?" Basically. And so I had to step up and say, "I'm being sooky because of, you know, this issue in the background." And then her explanation was very simple. Like, he is the extra person. He is the one on the outside all the time. And he needs that. And then you have to go, right, I just need to suck that one up and just move on. So that growth, I think, is hard work at times, but it's, you know, it's really valuable as well.
And it takes a lot of communication on all fronts to get to that point and to do that, yeah.
It's interesting because I completely understand where you're coming from. However, for me, I love that. Like, I love kind of being left alone. Being an only child, I love Angela to bits, but sometimes when we're somewhere, I'm kind of like, I wish there was a third person who could talk to her about the mundane stuff that she wants to talk about. And I could just sort of be just me and wander around, which again, you'll notice when we travel with you all, sometimes I kind of go off on my own. I kind of disappear for a little while. And like, it's not like I'm far away. I'm like a dog. I'm just like, I'm going around, I'm smelling things.
But you're still inside.
I'm still inside because I don't want my pack to leave me and I'm chewing on bones and weeing on things. But like, I just need to get away for a bit. So while I understand exactly what you're talking about, me, I'm kind of like, oh, that sounds great.
And I think we would manage that better now. I think the way we do things and the understanding that we have is better now. Mm-hmm. I think it would be okay. And one of the prime things that we've had to come to with all of this that makes a difference in all the stuff you discuss is assuming the best of your partner. So if something is making you go, what the fuck, you just assume the best. Assume that they're not trying to piss you off. They're not deliberately doing something they know that you wouldn't like. And you might need to talk about it and find out what's behind it, but make the assumption that it's the best case scenario, not the worst.
And it's not purposeful. And right. Yeah. That makes sense.
And if you say, please don't ever fucking do that again, that's fine. But you're saying it from a place of, but I know you didn't deliberately do that to cause harm.
Right.
But I don't.
In fact, that's probably become one of our rules, you know, our sort of let's guide ourselves by this is treat the person with respect and think you trust them, you love them, they trust you and love you. Yeah, they're trying to do the right thing. They're not trying to piss you off. They're not trying to totally disregard your feelings.
So what other rules and boundaries do you have? And do they change from like, scenario to scenario, or like hot wifing or I guess stag vixen kind of scenarios versus when you meet up with a couple? Are they different rules and boundaries, or are they very similar?
They're pretty similar. These days we've kind of evolved to the basic rule is let's just go with the flow and see what happens. Mm-hmm. We like to have that conversation with people, particularly couples, I think, because it's easier if it's just one person, but if you've got two people in the mix. So we like to have that conversation that says, hey, if one of you decides partway through this that you're not really into it and you'd rather sit back and take some pictures, or you want to call a stop to things, or you want to whatever, mm-hmm. we're all good with that and we won't have a problem with it. So we keep things together. We don't tend to go off separately, but maybe we will, because there's been some talk about that at some point.
Stay tuned.
And we have
had a couple of separate type incidents, like Manicorn putting the key under the door at the hotel where we were all staying in different rooms, and then Naughty saying to me, well, the key's there, so you should probably go. A few little things like that. We haven't done much. Mm-hmm. But
that's nice too, because then you can just sleep and not have somebody in the bed with you and you're like, oh, finally.
But in the early stages you think, yeah, but what if? What if he's in the hotel room really stressed out, really worrying about what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm more speaking for myself.
But I think that also comes with time and experience and knowledge that your partner, again, will speak up if there's a problem.
So. Assuming the best.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that what they say to you is what they actually mean.
I think that's great. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other rules are probably the standard ones. You know, we're going to wear. So we started off with protection, condoms for head jobs. That went out the window probably relatively quick, as that doesn't taste so good.
They don't taste good.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. I mean, it is all about risk assessment and, you know, how much of a risk is a disease from oral versus, you know, whatever. So I think that was probably one that we threw out the window relatively early. We've still got a no anal... No, PIA, yeah, probably that's penis and anal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Rule, and that started out probably as a discussion of let's keep something for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be willing to reappraise that for the bright star of a really good double penetration scene. So
a volunteer's tribute.
Double penetration is fucking hard work.
It's like, so much work.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's not near as sexy as people think that it is.
No. And like, yeah.
Maybe it should just be one of those fantasy things, but I swear to God, not the God, someone else, but we are going to nail that and you're going to have a fat time with two fat times.
Oh, my God.
So, but having said that, one of the elements that concerns me is Rocket does really like Adel, and she is not great at saying, whoa, 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 I think that's gone too far.
Yeah. Mm. Trust.
Because there's this element that is, I'm going to get there and it's fucking hot. And so that concerns me. I don't know how much it concerns you, but it certainly concerns me. So I think that, you know, that we've got to get that right as well. But
yeah.
I mean, come on, Naughty. What's the worst that could happen? So her insides get rearranged a little.
Happened, Bradford, is I'm not allowed there for a month or something like that.
Wait, how often do you all have anal?
Actually, the worst thing that could happen is there could be a trip to the hospital.
Yeah, which results in me not going there.
I love it. He's not worried about explaining it to the doctor.
No, I'll just push her out the door at the accident.
Tuck and roll, babe. Tuck and roll. Wow. God damn.
Whereas in reality, he'd be coming in with me and I'd be pretending to be mute.
Yes. Hi. My mime friend over here got railed and she texted me and I thought she was in a box, but apparently it didn't go in the box and that's why we're here.
Admittedly, for listeners out there, this is not a video cast, so you did need a little bit of movement there.
Oh, they knew.
But
they knew
I'm pretty sure most people know what was going on there. Yeah.
Oh, look, I'm in a box. Why am I in a bloody box? Why can't I see this box? Everybody knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
We all love mimes.
We've seen mimes. Yeah.
You thought I was going to say hate mimes, but I don't. I love mimes. I would love to, like, fuck the shit out of a mime because they'd be going... And I'm like, I don't know if you like it or hate it, but I'm going to pretend you like it. Yeah. Yeah, people knew what I was doing.
Video. Oh, my
God. That's great. So how do you guys typically meet people? Like, how do you meet people online? Do you meet people in person? How do you vet them? What does this process look like? And then has it changed over time since you started?
It's mostly RHP, but when I think about... the long-term friends we've made, it hasn't been. So it's been, so we met you guys through Twitter posts and then saying, hey, we're going to come and meet you and then, you know, saying hello. We've met people through being at Desire in Mexico. It's one of my favourite things. We met a couple there that we got along really well with. They said, come see us if you're ever back in the States. We went and saw them. They took us out on their yacht and then they said, we're going home to the families for Thanksgiving. Do you want to come on a road trip?
Oh, and wow.
To stay with the family. And you can't pay for experiences like that when you go on holiday.
No,
And they're long-term friends. And I think, you know, time will tell, but I think they're lifetime friends. And I think the same of you guys. And so, yes, we meet people through RHP mostly, but a lot of the long-term relationship type things you build haven't been
And RHP is the preference, I think, because you've got that whole profile thing. So you can look at someone and get a bit of assessment. We have had one spectacularly successful meetup through Instagram, which was a little bit bizarre, but
it was a lot bizarre.
It was the story is just the strangest story, but ended up with meeting this lovely couple who we're just Facebook friend them today, so it's taken that next step.
Oh my God, when do you all get married?
And we expect them to come visit us, you know, all those things are happening, but you know, that's a very unusual way, but I think it would probably only happen with couples, that scenario. So guys is really in that RHP thing, because you red hot pie for those that are outside Australia, you are looking at a much fuller story. And it can all be bullshit, like, I understand that. Yeah. But it's better than some random off Reddit or wherever messaging you and saying, hey, how about it? And you look at their profile and there's nothing there. You know, you're not going to go with that. Because there is a lot of interest out there. Mm. So, you know, this is not being conceited, I don't think, to say you get swamped with interest.
Yeah.
And trying to work your way through how you choose out of the 20 messages that are there that morning is pretty easy. Like if there's no profile, then they're gone. If there's no photo, like just don't even bother, dude. Just move on. So there's probably a few things in amongst that
if they send a dick pic and two words, wanna fuck, they're gone.
How about a root, babe?
Yeah. Or come up with the use YOUSE as came up on the Discord chat, like, no, you're out, gone. Sorry, I get that there are lovely people out there who have different levels of education and all that, but if you said use while something sexy happening, it's probably going to lead to some issues very quickly for all of us. So so I think that's
sounds pretty terrible, but it's you know, it's the conversation as well. You know, some if you're trying to have a chat, we like to have a little bit of a chat online first, because people tend to self-eliminate.
Mm.
Well, if you have a bit of a chat,
that sounds really gross.
Pretty gross.
Oh. Hey, Rocket, did you read today's chat? No, why? He self-eliminated.
Jesus. He shat himself into the toilet.
Hey, some people are into this.
He didn't post a picture, did he?
But we don't play where we live, so we're several hours away from the closest place where we'll play. So it's a bit of a pain in the ass. People don't necessarily want to have to worry about that. They want to send you a message saying you want to come over tonight, and that's not what we do.
Yeah.
So that's another factor of self-elimination. If they're not prepared to kind of hang around for a bit, have a bit of a conversation, it's not going to work.
I also imagine for that reason that if you're, you know, going out of your way to meet up with these people, you want to make sure that they're actually going to show up, as opposed to have people ghost you all the time.
Yeah. So if somebody doesn't show up for an arranged meet, we would tend to, unless there's a pretty good reason and they've told you as soon as they can tell you, there's not going to be a second chance. Like if you don't show up, if I'm sitting at the pub waiting and you don't show up, I'm not going to sit at the pub a second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably only happened once. They've probably disappeared before that. So I think that's only a one-off. Am I wrong?
Twice, I reckon.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, that's – so we've invested a lot of effort. We're making the effort. And I don't think we're particularly bad at communicating. Maybe sometimes I'm over-enthusiastic, but most of the time I try and keep it relatively calm and just do whatever the other person is happy with and try and get that level right. But if you disappear, then you are shit and we're out. That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
But I think probably we don't tend to message guys much. The volume that we are getting is such that that's another step.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been some relatively recent changes to Red Hot Pie that's just made it a slightly different. And we do tend to pay for the paid membership. And I have messaged some guys that have done a like sort of thing when I recognize that they're guests and their profile is good.
Mm.
Got a decent profile. It doesn't have to have a lot of photos, just a decent photo, but some information about themselves that makes me think there's probably something in their wording of their message, their what I like and what I'm looking for sort of stuff that says we're probably on the same page. Mm. Like, you know.
Well, Mr. Friday Night would suggest to me that you know what you're doing in the selection process.
So, yes. So he was a guest who I messaged and said, yeah, you probably fit it. And there were a few other things. So there is certainly some physical stuff in there as well that I would say was typically.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What Rocket was looking for. And so there's that component as well, because we all have physical likes and dislikes, but that bit about you've got a good profile that makes sense, and when we send you a, hey, I see you're a guest, here's your chance, you come back with a decent message, then, you know, now you're two levels above rather than dead shit Dave over there who's on a route or whatever it is. Yeah.
Also, I just want to say I love the name Mr. Friday Night.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. Hey.
It's differentiation from Mr. Tuesday Night, or was that Wednesday Night?
Wow.
First world problems, man.
For reals. Yeah. Back, you know, out where people can actually go and meet other people.
Sorry.
Must be nice. Humble brag.
We did on Friday night that made things really, this is not explicit, that was a really good way of doing things, is we arranged early drinks, so meet you at 6 o'clock for drinks, because Friday night, you know, everyone's working and it's kind of, well, how awkward is it for people to get home, get changed, blah, blah, blah. We'll do the early drinks thing. How about we couldn't get a dinner reservation because people can still travel in WA, and so everyone is traveling in WA, and so you can't get in anywhere. So we said, what about we go out for drinks, go back to the hotel for a little while, and then go out for dinner later and then see where the night takes us. And that was awesome.
Nice. Recommend. Sneaky, like, sneaky.
They call that the appetizer.
Uh-huh.
And plus, it's not only that all the West Australians are going out and eating and travelling and everything, it's that we haven't let any backpackers in, so we have no service staff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit of third world, first world.
So there's places that can't meet the capacity of the service they could offer in a night because they can't get staff.
Wow.
But that's okay. It gives you an excuse to push your pay day to later so you can have two instead of just one.
More time in the bedroom, less time in the restaurant.
And both places are all you can eat. Sorry.
They are.
God. So what's one of the hottest experiences that you've had? Was it Mr. Friday Night, or are there others that really stick out to you?
Remember, you've played with us. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
This is actually a tragic story because...
Oh, God.
Sorry. Yeah. Absolute tragedy because, not the playing with you guys, by the way, because the probably one of the hottest nights and first nights that we had was with somebody who ghosted.
Aww.
And didn't just ghost once, but ghosted twice. Like ghosted and then got back in touch and said, yeah, you know what? There was some stuff going on. It was a bit of a shitty thing to do. I'd really like to make it up to you. Let's arrange another day. And typically we would go, no, fuck off. But we didn't. We said, yeah, stuff happens. Things get in the way. Let's just do that. And he did it again.
Ugh.
And the worst thing, like I would just go, oh, well, write that person off. But the worst thing is that the one play date we had was really, really good.
Oh.
Anyway.
So typically Rocket is probably – has in the past certainly been too worried about what I'm doing, how I'm feeling and all that sort of stuff to concentrate on her own stuff.
And the other person.
And the other person, you're right, yes. So there's three people in the room. She's worried about two of them except herself.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that has inhibited her capacity, I suspect, to get her rocks off. But this night, so this was one of the – this is probably the first night where I've sat back the whole night in the voyeur's chair in the hotel room and just watched. And it was fucking amazing.
Took some really hot photos.
Yeah. And so that's a classic. Like, this is the first set of photos that Rocket's gone, yep, that's hot, that's hot, that's hot. Mm. So it's every photo. So, but the best bit was texting Rocket going while she was still mid doing something, going, holy fuck, you just came on the first date with dude. This is amazing. And so when you've got that, you go, oh, shit, yeah, maybe we'll give him a second chance. Shouldn't have given him the second chance, but
yeah.
Happened. Well, I mean, at least you got something out of him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. But that's still a bummer.
Yeah.
People drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, and that, you know, you just can't take it on. You can't get too deep into it. You just have to go, people have lives and strange shit's happening in their lives.
Yeah, you know what's going on.
And I think that's the thing. And I think one thing we didn't really touch on when you're talking about single fellas, at least with our experience on sites like RHP, is I think a lot of them are there for masturbation purposes. They don't actually have any intention of meeting anyone.
Just send lots of photos.
Yeah, send me lots of photos. I'll send you lots of photos. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. I don't want to talk to you anymore. But we have had a few that are, you know, you can tell they have conversations. They want something mm-hmm. more than just the photos. And I think that a lot of them too, even if you said, okay, let's meet right now, many of them would get cold feet and pull out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
But that's a better option than getting floppy feet in the bedroom because the pressure is too much. And we had a string of that. Like, Rocket was, fuck this, I'm over it. There's no way we're doing this again. And I said, let's give it one more spin. And we gave another spin on the weekend and it worked out. But it's incredible pressure for a guy. I get it that, you know, a single guy coming into a very strong relationship where we've got a very strong connection, that's a hard thing to do, but they've just got to, you know, the giving people that understanding of how to do that is really hard.
Right.
They just have to step up and step into it. And if you need a pill, take a pill. If you need whatever, just get in there and take advantage of the opportunity you've been given.
Yeah. Well, and I also think a lot of single guys that we've run into as well online, and we're doing a lot more online stuff, is they would forget that we have lives as well. And so, you know, we would be chatting with somebody and then they would be constantly messaging me. Do you want to get a coffee? Do you want to get lunch? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I have a job. I have work to do. I can't just drop everything and go meet you at any given time. So I think that's something that people kind of forget as well, is they're like, oh my God, I really want to make this happen. Let's do it now. And it's like, no, we can't do that. You know?
And sometimes that can be one of the defining factors in just cutting it off for me, is that if the conversation, not so much the just kind of checking in, but if the conversation sort of starts to feel a bit stalkery, you know, then I'm just like, no, don't need that, not into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And particularly if you get a, hey, you there, or something like that, no, fuck off. Like, we've got lives. Like, and we're pretty honest, our profile is extensive on RHP. It's probably too lengthy, too much detail, and I think that probably weeds a bunch of people out pretty quickly because they go, fuck, these guys are weird. Look how much info they've got in their thing. But I think we make it very clear that we are busy and, you know, we are not in the capital city and that's where we play. So we're not going to be available at the drop of a hat. And if you can't read that, yeah, maybe you're not for us.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I want to touch on one of the things you were talking about, running into a series of guys that had performance anxiety or performance issues. I think part of the problem is a societal problem in that, going back to what we were talking about before, they feel like they're filling that role of the bull, right? And like, think about, like, when you describe a man as a bull, you know, it's this probably really muscular guy, younger, they're going to be like really well endowed and like rock hard all the time. And when they finally get into that position, they're like, oh, maybe that's not me. I don't know. And all it takes is one thought like that, and there's no way to get back. But you're right in that there's medication to prevent that, guys. So you can get it pretty cheap. You can do it.
Yeah, and it's incredibly fraught with danger for them. Like, you could be
a serial killer.
Yeah, dead right.
I mean, if you were in Adelaide, they might end up in a 10-gallon bucket.
Not.
I thought it was a barrel.
Whatever.
Yeah, 44-gallon drum.
Whatever.
But we won't split the difference between 10 and 4.
What was it? Snowtown. Is it Snowtown? Something like that, yeah. Yeah, watch out. I don't
think about that too much. So, yeah, I feel for the guys. We do try and make them relatively comfortable and have the conversations about stuff, but it's, you know, at some stage they've got to step up. If they're not confident, they're not going to do it for Rocket. So that, if we went back to what's hot, confident, that's what's going to make for a hot night. And do you want to mention one more hot thing?
We like hot things.
Uh-oh, we have notes.
Yeah, well, so when we were having regular catch-ups with the Manicorn, one of the hottest things for me, and so I can judge hot things by one of the flashbacks.
Okay.
If something flashes back fairly regularly, then you know that was a pretty hot thing. And the three of us had fallen asleep in the same bed, and I was sleeping naughty, and, you know, I probably had a leg over him and, you know, had my head in his chest, and we were all asleep, and then the Manicorn woke up and he was on, I had my back to him, and he just went, yeah, I reckon I'm going there. And he just initiated while I was still semi-asleep, and I just went, oh, yeah, this is like the confidence to go, another man's wife, another man's bed, but I'm going to do this. That was really hot.
Okay, that is pretty. That's hot. I like that. I thought you were going to say, like, I was sleeping between two guys that were like furnaces and fuck, it was hot.
Well, there was that.
And I think the other hot thing that you would mention, which is on that naughty scale, but not the dirty naughty, is the stuff like walking down the street holding someone else's hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's those just, they're a bit naughty, and if someone spotted, and we've done that for, say, some of our close friends, we've caught up, and then the Manicorn's come in and Rocket's been up the front with the Manicorn holding his hand or whatever, and I know that's rocking her boat. That's that is clearly doing it for her.
Or you walk, like, I remember one point I was at a bar. And you know how you lean forward, you got your arms on the bar and you kind of lean forward to your butt sticking out a little bit. And the Manicorn walked up behind me and had his hand, not on my butt, but just on your waist kind of thing. Yeah. And that is so hot because it's that proprietary kind of touch. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm confident enough to do this and also around public. That's really hot. So, yeah, I like that kind of stuff.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to admit that is something that we do quite often with partners, you know, just friends even, is that we'll cuddle up with opposite, you know, not each other. You know,
other partners, you know.
I remember a couple of years ago when we were allowed to have Christmas parties, Leo met us as Angela's company's Christmas party was ending, and we were all going to the Imperial Hotel, which is, if you don't know where that is the beginning of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. That's where it starts. So we were going there for some drinks and dancing, and he and I were holding hands, walking in front of the people that she works with.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because everybody knows, and none of us really care, but it was kind of, if you're right, it feels like, oh my gosh.
It feels a little dirty, this. Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
So I'm curious, because this is, I watch some porn, you know, we all watch a little bit of porn. Do you all play safe? Is it condom usage, or are there options out of condoms, or how does that work?
We've talked about doing the testing, like if we've been having long-term arrangements with somebody, doing the testing so that we don't have to use condoms, but you're still at the mercy of somebody else being as upfront as you're being.
Right.
And you know, there's vested interests in not necessarily being as upfront, and so we just don't go there. It's just.
Mm-hmm. So I have. It's probably worth saying that Rocket isn't a fan of condoms in the least. So,
they,
you know,
suck up all the moisture.
I know. I don't like them either.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you know, that's a real. You've got that risk assessment sort of stuff happening yet again, and how much of a risk are you prepared to take? And I'm going to say there's something hot about the sloppy seconds.
There. I agree, right? Thank you. Thank you, Naughty. Like, that is something that I've thought about a lot, is that there's something sexy about sloppy sec. Like,
but that's even why we tried the female condom, because we were like, right. Oh, maybe we can do it using that and
but
still
then the
be
gentleman
somewhat
and
safe.
I was like fucking a trash can bag, right?
It was like, it was terrible.
Like, it's this giant ring that hangs out of her, and like,
it's not sexy to put in.
It wasn't sexy to put in.
They're not, but you know, they do have their uses. We have tried them when performance issues have been a problem, but yeah. Primarily if the problem is caused by somebody who's maybe just come out of a long-term relationship and they haven't played with condoms,
yeah.
So they don't really know what they're doing. So we'll try it with the female ones and also tell them to go home and practice wanking with a condom on.
Honestly, I've done that too.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It works. It works. Or if you have a partner, you know, use a condom with them, even though you normally don't. But that's a great, great advice. I hadn't actually thought about it. Using a female condom for performance anxiety, but that makes sense too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you do have to stop and put the guy's condom on. So
yeah,
that helps.
Yeah, it's like, let's go in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just don't look down there. It's fine. Like, just call me Oscar the Crotch.
Are you calling it a trash can?
Honestly, female condoms make the lady parts look like, or any part that you shove it into, because you could put it in the anus as well. It, because that ring, it just looks like some kind of trash can.
Mm.
And it looks like, you know how you take the plastic and you stretch it over the top of the trash can? That's what I'm always mm-hmm. reminded of whenever I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just picturing Oscar sticking his head out. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. The little green fuzzy guy popping out and going, get out of my home.
I'd be happy for Oscar to be my code name.
Oh my god! Oh my god! That's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so we've played with friends where she and I were 69ing, and he was fucking her, and he came in her, and then I went to get finished going down on her, and like, all I'm thinking is, this would be so much fun if this was Angela. I mean, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, it was great because it was her, and like, she's wonderful as well. But like, you know, it's kind of it goes back to that. Something that I think that hot wifing and cuckolding comes back down to, and I think we can distill it down to, is unfortunately ownership, right? Mm-hmm. It does come down to, doesn't matter if it's which gender it is, but this is my partner, and like, and they're doing something that sort of breaks the ownership thing, or at the same time reinforces the ownership because I'm allowing it to happen. And like, there's this really weird dance that goes on.
It's a bit of push pull.
Yeah, and I really like it. There's something that's really cool about it. And yeah. Great, except the name.
Well, I think that component that you were just talking about, Bradford, about doing the cleanup, that's in the real, for me, my vision of that is in the humiliation sort of.
Do like the humiliation then? Do
you, no.
Wouldn't do
one? I'm not doing the cleanup. Like,
oh, okay.
I think I am one of the least squeamish guys in the world, but I've met someone better than me now, and it's you. Like, I just, there's so many things I'd go, oh, whatever, I'll stick my head down there, there's blood, I don't care, I'm just going, like, it's, but if there's a bunch of splooge down there, I don't care whether it's yours, mine, or whoever's, I'm struggling a bit more here now, and it's hard for me to admit this, because I picture myself as very, I don't give a fuck. I'm just, it's all good, but it's not for all good for that one.
I got to be honest, man. Like, I'm kind of disappointed that we've known each other for what, 4 or 5 years, and you're just now saying that I'm better than you? Goddamn.
Not where I thought that comment was going.
Nah. No, I understand. I actually, there's been times where Angela's been riding me and I'm like, all right, as soon as I come, get up and sit on my face.
Yeah.
because you know,
I've got the theory, but I don't got the practice. Like I can go, yeah, that sounds really, like it could be really hot. And then once I've done, I'm going, nah.
Well, it has to be immediate because I'm the same way. Because in my mind, I'm like, this is going to be great.
It has
this
to
be so sexy.
Like 2 seconds.
Then if the timing is perfect, then I can just keep going and then so long refractory period. But the other problem you have is what ends up happening is this like snail trail of what looks like bird droppings up your chest. Because like, it's like plop, plop. Like, I can even do it like. I can't even make a sound that, I don't know, but it plops onto my chest and then you feel it like both running and drying at the same time, which is one of those magical things that cum seems to do. How does it even do that? It can be a like extremely sticky and dry, but also watery and running down to your armpits. It's just, yeah, it's great.
And if it gets wet, that adds a whole new dimension to it. Like,
yeah, then it's clumpy. You go in the shower, now it's clumpy. What are you made of?
But I do think you're performing a valuable community service there because Angela does not have to sleep in the wet patch because it's all over your
chest. Yeah. It's good. It's right.
Honestly, in the recent past, Angela, I sometimes feel like she's going to be like, you know, get the fuck out, because she'll get off of me and then just kind of throw the towel at me, like, clean yourself up.
And that is true love.
Like, at least it's our own branded towels.
At least I give him a towel. Come on.
Well, we recently talked about the fact that we have been together for over 20 years, but we're still not smart enough to make sure we can reach tissues in the bedroom.
So we both have in our side drawers, we have cum rags, multiples, because you never know. In our playroom now, we have the OSS towels that sit on the couch. We've got a stack of cum rags over on our little condom drawer thing. And then we now have a laundry hamper in the playroom. Yeah. That way we don't have to walk it all the way back out.
Yeah.
Hashtag planning.
And I do try to be pretty okay with, like, if we're getting to a position where I'm further away from cum rags, just to at least grab one for, you know, the very beginning bits. And just have it nearby.
Oh, you're the organized Angela. Yeah, no,
but we've got two of your cum rags now. So not your used, but as in your.
Yeah, because those cost extra.
And plant them around the place.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which is unfortunate when one of the children helps hang out the washing at some point or something like that. And you go, I don't know what they're thinking now.
I know what they're thinking. Ew! That's great.
Why is this towel so stiff?
And it's been through the watch already.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's called fabric softener.
So do you guys have any other stories, interesting tidbits, anything you'd like to bring up?
About what was hard nose for us.
Yeah. Let's talk about your hard nose.
Yeah, what are hard nose?
Hard nose, one of them is, this is probably going to sound really awful, but one of them is smoking.
Mm. Oh, no, we're with you there.
Mm-hmm. And the manicorn was a smoker.
Snuck through.
Yeah, slid under the radar.
And it was fine for me, surprisingly, because I would never have... You know, I wouldn't choose that. And I have kissed smokers before, and they're true. It's true. It's like licking an ashtray. But actually, it was okay for me. But one night we were playing, and I think we were overseas with him. And Naughty just said to me, "Don't kiss me. I can't kiss you. You taste revolting."
Wow. Secondhand smoke.
Yeah, interesting.
And it wasn't just on my face, as in, you know, it was breath, because you're breathing in. You know, and that's made us go, well, actually, that needs to be pretty low, because that's not good. I don't want him to say he's not kissing me.
No, that was a really hard thing to say. Like, and I think I probably put up with a fair bit beforehand and just went, it's just, you know, the price you pay or whatever. And then I just reached that saturation point and went, oh, no, I can't do it. And so we had some. There were some hot moments, actually, where, you know, we'd be walking back from a bar or whatever, and there'd be various stops along the way with snogging and all that sort of stuff. And Rocket would have lipstick spread over most of her face through that sort of process, which sounds gross, but it was
not hot fucking as far as hot. I'm concerned.
But
as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, and hot as far as the manicorn was concerned as well. So the guys are going, yeah, that's pretty shit hot. And she's going, oh, don't look at me, like it's revolting. But, you know, that involves a whole lot of spit and all that sort of stuff in that process. And it was, you know, at the end of one of those moments to go, actually, I don't want to kiss you and I have to say this, was a really hard thing. And that was, it was an interesting occasion. And we just discussed this today, thanks to you guys, about how you make that statement and how, what your judgments of what the other person's going to feel. And for me, it was particularly hard because I did not want Rocket to feel bad. Like that, you know, it's not her fault. It's not, it was just part of the mix of things or any of that sort of stuff. And to say to someone, nah, you stink. I know you said that to Angela earlier, Bradford. With that.
No, but, that was me.
Oh, sorry, Rocket said that.
Thanks a lot. Putting words in my mouth. Dude, you're kind of a dick.
Which is why you love me.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess you love what you eat.
So, yeah, that sort of stuff's really hard. And that is part of the, you know, you're going to wear some of those things. So making that a hard no has been pretty strong with us. And I suspect there'll come an occasion where we're in a couple situation and some hot girl is there and I'm going, I just have to say no now because I have to stand on my principles.
It's okay. You can say yeah, but
you can, or you can say yeah once. I mean, look, I think that's a good point. It's like hard rules are yeah, they're hard rules, but there's also you make leeways for certain things. Like I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of smokers. However, there have been people who smoke that I'm like, okay, I don't have a problem with this because maybe the smoke doesn't stick to them the same way, or maybe they smoke a different kind of cigarette or, you know, brand or something, but something's different about it. Like, let's be really realistic. Marlboro Red versus Marlboro Light are quite different. And so, yeah, you can make, you're not marrying this person. So,
no, you know. But you're right though. People do wear it differently.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Smell of stale cigarette smoke and some people, and there's a big difference. And I don't want to be mean to anyone about that, but it's just if you don't smoke, it's very overwhelming.
Yeah. That's, and overwhelming. We've had friends who were smokers who we've played with, but they wouldn't smoke for like 2 or 3 hours before they played with us. They would like immediately before seeing us, they would be brushing their teeth. They carried mouthwash with them at all times. Like, you know, those people are kind of like, they're cool. I understand. That's great. I'm going to give you a lot more leeway.
Yeah.
So any other hard no's?
If I get a message from someone immediately followed, like, you know, hey, how you going? And it's immediately followed by a dick pic and there's been no conversation and no, you know, I might give a bit of leeway in that. I might say, yeah, that's not really a thing to send unsolicited dick pics. Nice to check first. And if they go, oh, sorry, and then have a conversation, maybe I'll cut people off from that. But that does sort of make me go,
Reminds me of my father's. They'll stop then. Is that you, Dad?
I think that would be a good response for the next one.
I think the best one I ever heard, and it goes around a bit, was someone saying, are you sending me a kid's dick photo? Like, that's fucking gross. I'm going to report you. And the other person goes, no, I wasn't. Don't send me kid dick photo. I'm going to report you now.
Oh, that's disturbing.
It's a brilliant reaction.
It's a bit mean. But, you know, you probably should know by now that maybe consent's a thing and you should check first. But
I mean, you know, if you have a television or a radio or any kind of, you know, if you've been part of media over the last 5 years, yeah, you should know. I mean, realistically, if you're a good human being, you should know. But
yes.
I mean, the other side of that is we do live in a very bogan society here in Western Australia. That's just what it is. And not everybody has the same level of education or the same, like, so I have to say our growth in the time that we've been doing this. So how long have we been doing this, Dana?
I do not know.
Even a year?
That's a long time.
Pick a year.
Pick a year. 2010?
So 2007, I looked at the first photos of our first play date today, 1st of February 2007, to be exact. And so that wasn't that night, it was the next day. But anyway, that's fine. Actually, I think something were that day. But they weren't of that occasion because that wasn't the thing to do at that time. But going back to the other part of the story, I think I have grown massively in that time period, and I've certainly grown massively since listening to people like yourselves and a bunch of others that can educate me about stuff that I know fuck all about and, you know, have fuck all exposure to, because that's the channel that I'm working in, and you guys are working in this channel, and, you know, the sex workers are working in this channel over here, or whoever it is, like, that opportunity through podcasting in particular to grow yourself a bit and understand things from another spectrum, another side of things, is just been incredibly valuable. So I have this little bit of me that sometimes goes, I'll just do the education bit. And I understand why a lot of people just don't have the background power for that anymore and just go, oh, go get fucked. Like, and I do that sometimes too, but a lot of the time I'll hunt out one of those things that says, why would you send me a dick pic photo and click that to them and just make that my response, particularly when I'm getting them and not Rocket, like, fucking hell.
Hey, I apologized about that, all right?
You did, but you read the article, so at least you learned something. So I get why people don't get it because it's just not, and I have less forgiveness for younger people, and that's bad, but I have less forgiveness for younger people because, like, they are so much smarter than we are. Like, they are so much further advanced and so much more forgiving and all that stuff. They got their shit together way more than I had.
And they're also, I think a lot of that's because they're exposed to media a lot sooner in life than what, of course, we were. So.
Yeah, I mean, we were around when TVs were invented. Joking, I'm joking. None of us were around.
We were around when they got colored.
I will say one thing that I have gotten started doing, at least on Grindr, is when I get led with a dick pic, I will respond, like, honestly, if this is the best thing you have to offer, if this is what you think is your best quality, we're not going to get along. Like, if all you are is a penis, like, why do I need you? There's dildos, right? I don't need you. I could go to a glory hole and get the exact same thing. So, yeah.
Well, you know how I knew we were going to get along with Mr. Friday Night was when we were talking about pictures and stuff, and he asked, did I want him to send a dick pic? And I said, no. And when we met, he said, you know, the people who are going to respond to or make a decision about meeting me based on my dick pic are not the people I want to meet.
Yeah, that's great.
That's actually really good.
I like that. Yeah. Also, if somebody asks you, like, can I send you a dick pic? And they're like, yeah, please. If you send them a picture of Richard Nixon and they still want to meet you, that's probably a no.
And I think that it sort of feeds back into that, you know, if your profile is Big Niner as your profile name and all you've got is a dick pic there, like, no, well, I suspect no, we're probably not going to click here.
Big Niner. What is it? Are we going to meet up over a CV? Was there a Niner in there? Yeah. Hey there, Smokey.
I'm going to put that up as my profile. Even though I'm not
the hey there, Big Niner. What's your 10/20? Over. Got a couple of Smokies coming up on your ass. I don't know. I don't do CB. Over.
So before we wrap everything up about hot wifing, cuckolding, stag vixen, I just wanted to run through a few potential negatives because we've talked about a lot of good things that come from it and a lot of different ways that you can approach it. But there are some negatives, and one of them we've kind of touched on a little bit, in that there can be pressure on a partner to do something they may not be comfortable with, and that can be either partner, either the one who is the voyeur or the one who is participating, or even the third person. And again, that's where the communication comes in as to what are the expectations, what does the scenario need to look like, and having the trust in your partners that everybody's going to speak up if, you know, something happens and they need to. Another potential negative, of course, is jealousy. And that's always going to be a possibility, but again, communication can help a lot with that.
Yeah. You touched on that on talking about your overseas trip. I think that was born of jealousy.
Yep. Yep. Lack of understanding. So again, just talking to your partners and knowing what is it. Again, I like how you talked earlier about always assume the best, you know, that you're assuming that whatever your partner is doing or whatever's happening, it's coming from a good place. And I think that's a really, really good way to look at it and a probably a fair assumption to make, especially in a long-term relationship. Also, you have to be careful to that you're building intimacy in these scenarios and not building walls. So you don't want to, again, this is going back to assuming the best out of your relationship, but you don't want to ever give another partner, you don't want to look at it as ammunition, right? You want to build the intimacy. You don't want it to be ammunition to as something to use against them at a potential time in the future. Not having agreed upon boundaries, which if you're going into this kind of scenario, you really should have those conversations ahead of time as far as rules, boundaries, and afterwards as well, because as we all know, going through this lifestyle, it changes. Yeah, we've all certainly grown, and rules have gone out the window. Rules have changed. New ones may have come in. It all changes with time.
You hear that conversation ad infinitum if you listen to podcasts about rules changing and how they, but you just don't know how they're going to work.
Yeah,
when you get into a scenario, and every situation is different.
Yeah,
so you can have a situation, you can have rules that you agree to, and then all of a sudden, we're in this situation. I cannot make this situation work with this set of rules. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And that's where the assuming the best and sort of going with the flow thing.
Adapt or die, motherfucker.
And it was an interesting point you made about that, the connection-y sort of stuff. Like you would hear a lot on, maybe it's the cuckold podcast or whatever, but there's a lot of people talk about that reclaiming. Well, even Swing It podcast.
Yeah.
We talk about that.
And I certainly get that. There is an element of that. I think, you know, there's an element of reestablishing the connection and all those sorts of things. There's an element of using the head of your cock to scoop their sperm out, you know, all those sorts of things.
I mean, there are probably better tools that you could use, but, you know, like your mouth can be quite the suction.
Oh, stop it. Great.
You waggle that tongue around in there. You can get all the corners because, you know, most vaginas have corners.
I think there is an element of that in a lot of these things afterwards. But there's also an element of fuck off, I am too sore, I am battered and bruised, isn't there?
There is, this weekend.
Which I certainly get, you know, and it is part of the fun of life, of just the little things that make you go afterwards, hey, that was a pretty shit hot night.
Mm. I thought you were going to say those little things that make you say, hey, roll over, I'll just go in the back door.
It's not Monday yet.
Monday anal day.
But Bradford, what you're saying about adapt or die, I know you were joking, but that's actually what it is. And for us, if we had a period of time where we would have these experiences and then we'd have some really quite intense conversations after these experiences, and you might have to have them more than once, and you'd be going, we're talking about the same fucking thing again. Why? I feel like I'm being punished for what happened here. And it had to get to that. Like for me, I was just going, this is not worth it. Like, why are we doing this? This is causing us to argue. Yeah. And so we had to evolve past that.
Right.
Yeah. Adapt or stop. What you're doing.
I mean, and I wasn't really joking, because like adapt or die. I mean, that's basically what it is. You know, you've got to like die is a harsh word, but you're right. Like you said, adapt or stop doing what you're doing, which yeah. means the practice has to die. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is a really good conversation to have about, do you want to do this? Because if we're going to continue with this conversation, we're not doing it anymore. That lays out a boundary that if we're going to keep this conversation up, then the fun you get out of this is stopped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How much fun is that worth for you just to roll over and go, I need to shut the fuck up about this.
I'm at a 7. I need myself in a shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up is what you want to do. You don't want to just
right.
Yeah.
And, it up.
I need to be more clear and concise with my needs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it is dead right. I need to just align myself with this and move on, or say, no, you're right, this mm-hmm. hasn't worked and we can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's we'll wrap this up.
Yes.
Tell everybody your Twitter handle, because I know you have like 11,500 followers, and you could always use more.
You've been following me and looking at my profile, have you?
Ooh.
Yeah, like it's amazing. Oh, I don't know why. Well, I do know why.
I know why too. She's sitting right there.
Naughty 3 sum, with the 3 being the numeral.
Excellent. So that's NAUGHTY 3SOME.
Yes. And thank you very much, Rocket and Naughty, for being on with us and sharing your experiences.
Yes, definitely go follow them. They post some amazing pictures. Mm-hmm. So just delightful, dark, wonderful, sexy things. And everything they post makes Twitter a little better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Aw, thanks. I don't know anything. There you go.
You pose. Yes, thank you all both so much for your time, for your expertise, for your your willingness to chat about your who you are, what makes you tick, and what turns you on.
Thank you.
It's good fun.
Thanks for having
us. So once again, we want to say thank you very much to Naughty and Rocket for coming on and talking to us. It was very lovely to have a chat with them.
Yes.
And to get their experiences and opinions and... yeah, just kind of see how they do things.
How they roll. Yeah. And plus, we were lucky enough to be able to look at their sexy faces the entire mm-hmm. conversation. Sorry, podcast folks.
Yeah.
You just get to listen to their sexy talk. So thank you so much to them. If you want to message us, you can shoot us an email, theatomsoflove@gmail.com, or hit us up on any of our socials. We are at By the By Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitterverse. Or you can join us on our live Discord chat. How do you do that? You go to patreon.com/bythebypodcast. It's little as 50 cents an episode, people. That's nothing. Come on. Bring it on. And we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.